you can see really just in the last 100 years how states have built on different emotions for different public purposes. I think that what we have after the Second World War in a lot of Western nations, the expansion of health care, the expansion of pension plans, the expansion of welfare, it's interesting how in many cases, while those are political purposes, if you look at who are involved in them, it's often people who have some kind of religious background or other. Now, I'm not saying that's exclusively, but they really do see this as an outgrowth of religious obligation. There's a case in which you find in Canada with the expansion of social programs, much of this is driven by activists, social activists, both from Catholicism and from Protestantism, who really see that the purpose of public action is to create a healthy and open society where people are free from want. Now, the thing that sometimes happens, and even happens with some of these very same progressives, is that they will sometimes have a sharp definition which excludes others. You know, some of the same progressives in Canada who are arguing for the expansion of the vote, this is in the early 20th century, and the expansion of social services, were also arguing for limits on immigration. They were trying to create a particular kind of holy society. And I guess that's one of the things that I find that is paradoxical, that often it's people who are trying to build a pure and holy society. Their desire can result in some enormous good, but they often have either implicit or explicit distinctions which cause them to decide that this society can only be truly pure and truly holy if we keep out certain groups. Things which we now find to be absolutely unacceptable, and yet in the rhetoric of the early 20th century, that's often just taken as given. We didn't have anything like a formal White Canada policy, but we certainly had an informal White Canada policy. One of the things that we are marking this year is the 100th anniversary of a period when a ship of over 400 Sikhs came into Vancouver Harbor, and these were all holders of British passports. They should have been allowed into the country. And the government twisted itself into knots to make sure that would not happen. Canada at that time barely had a navy, but it used one of its decrepit old destroyers to make sure that ship, after 2 months, was escorted out of the harbor. That's on the eve of the First World War. On the eve of the Second World War, we do the same with a ship full of Jewish refugees, Jewish emigres from Germany. Why was this? Well, they were not part of the kind of society we were building, thank you very much. And so I think for all of us, possibly Australians, certainly Canadians, we absolutely love to pat ourselves on the backs for the kind of open, inclusive societies that we've built. But I think the only way we can really do that with any integrity is to remember how much a struggle it was in the building and how often we weren't about opening doors, but precisely about closing them. I think it's the only way to remember and to make sure that in the future we do keep those doors open as much as possible, is to look at ourselves really honestly and see that everything we do out of love often also has a flip side of fear or hatred, and we've got to come to terms with that.